Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps people like to listen? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise your podcast. That means that you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad Force Flex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking. The phenomenal AJ Styles.
Jerry Rosa.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer Tommaso Ciampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Welcome to Sportscast Radio.
I was running through the six with my wallet.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to once again the NBA Free Agency edition of One Sportscast Radio, coming at you late night. As always, sitting not by my side, but kind of by my side in my mind. Elijah, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man?
Elijah, staying up late night. A very good friend of the show. He used to write for the website. Nick Hagberg's with us tonight.
Hey, how's it going?
We are excited. Hagberg was lobbying for Chris Ransom to come on tonight, but I didn't manage to get a hold of Mr. Ransom, unfortunately. Kyle Adams from Popular Media may be joining us. But, guys, it's NBA free agency. We've been freaking out all night. I've spoke with Elijah a little bit, too. And let's just move in. First things first, our hometown team. Elijah, I know you didn't want Kyle Lowry. You kind of wanted the Teague train, I believe, and we got him. Jeff Teague, 3 years, $57 million. What do you think?
I like the deal. I mean, might have maybe slightly overpaid for him, but I mean, we only signed him to a 3-year deal, which is nice. And if we were gonna, like, I would have been fine with keeping Rubio, but Teague was the guy that I wanted to replace Rubio with if they decide to go that route, just because to me he gives you the best like mix of like playmaking and scoring out of the other free agent point guards, probably besides Jrue Holiday. I wouldn't have minded, but Jrue Holiday is always injured, so I mean, and he's going to sign like a $170 million deal supposedly with the Pelicans to stay there, but which is pretty ridiculous. But to me, like, I wouldn't have minded Lowry, but he probably needs the ball in his hands a little too much, and he probably needs to shoot the ball a little too much for our team. That's why I don't think he would have been as good of a fit as Teague. So,
Nick, what do you think about that? Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, he's 31, Elijah. Paying a guy that much when he's exiting his prime, you know, you're right.
I mean, Teague is close in age to Lowry, but you'd have to probably give Lowry more years and more money. So,
and the nice thing with Teague, I mean, you probably saved $10 to $12 million a year. And when his contract ends is when he's 32, which they usually say 28 to 32 is your prime. So we're getting him for his prime years. Nick, what did you think on the Jeff Teague deal?
Yeah, I'm totally on board with it. I kind of have similar feelings about Kyle Lowry. I mean, 31 years old, which, I mean, that's, I mean, you know, like he was saying, not a big age gap from comparing to Jeff Teague. But, you know, I mean, once these players hit, you know, 33, 34, they just start to tail off and decline. I mean, you can just go down the list of players it's happened to. And I think definitely Jeff Teague is definitely probably a friendlier contract. And I think that, especially in the Timberwolves situation, money is huge this free agency because, I mean, if you just look at their bench from top to bottom, that's really the biggest weakness of their team right now. And I think you can contribute their poor bench to a lot of their losses, especially in a lot of their losses when they had second half collapses last year. So I think signing Jeff Teague and having enough money to revamp their bench is, I think, going to take them a long ways.
Sticking with the Timberwolves here, I'm seeing that there is no offer given yet to J.J. Redick. Woj apparently was saying Redick won't return to the Clippers. Minnesota has been open to giving Redick a 3-4 year deal, but the Sixers are reportedly offering him a 1-year, $20 million contract to just kind of go big or go home and see what happens. So, I mean, that's definitely an interesting one, getting Jeff Teague here. Elijah, I kind of texted you earlier about this. This was something me and Nick had heard about earlier tonight. There was talks of a sign-and-trade with Paul Millsap in Atlanta. The most likely thing we could figure out was you'd probably have to give him Gorgie and Cole Aldridge to make up $20 million, and then we'd take about a $3-4 million hit if he gets – you know, upwards of 25. Is that a move you'd be comfortable making, Elijah?
Yeah. I mean, it might thin your bench out more, but, I mean, just if we were to get Paul Millsap, could you imagine our starting five?
That's nasty. You got, and Nick had pointed this out earlier, too. This is starting to. If we pull this off, think about Jeff Teague played with him in Atlanta. It makes sense to put these guys back together because it worked in Atlanta, and they were one of the first teams to really kind of challenge LeBron. You know, before they broke everything up there.
Yeah,
I love it. I love that play on it. But like you said, we got to thin up our bench by doing it, so that'll be interesting. Also, I guess our plan C or D, if we miss on Redick or a power forward now,
CJ Miles.
Yes, yes. Nick, does CJ Miles do anything for you if we can get him on the cheap?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you can get him get him at a discount. But, it's really hard to say because, you know, last few years in Indiana, I've been watching him, and it's just – I mean, he's not the most exciting player by any means, but you know, he gets the job done, and I like him more as a bench guy, you know. But I wouldn't go overboard on him, and I think what you're going to see in the next couple of weeks, I think I wouldn't be surprised if a team went way overboard on CJ Miles, and I just don't see a need to do that.
Elijah, do you have any interest in the Roseville native Mike Muscala to come in as a stretch big off the bench?
Yeah, I mean, if he's had for a good price, he'll add shooting to our team, which is one thing that we really need is outside shooting. So, I mean, I wouldn't be disappointed with that deal if we were, you know, if we still got like a guy like Redick or Millsap, you know, like,
oh
just
my God,
and just adding him to the mix, like I would be fine with that.
It, you guys realize that this is something we kind of touched on earlier. The Timberwolves are a player right now in free agency. Like, this never happens. The last time I think a Minnesota team really went for it and actually just tried to win was that 4th of July when we got Parisian Suter, you know, over the Wild. Like, that was the first time anybody kind of went, oh, my God, a Minnesota team spent money and it wasn't on Joe Mauer. I'm ecstatic by this, and it's just, you know, I'm just looking at all these tweets, and it's crazy to just see all these players that keep coming up in our in the same cocoon of interest with our team, it makes me think maybe they really were trying to make a deal for Paul George. I don't think it made sense, but maybe they really were when that came out, when we got Butler. But,
man,
you know,
I don't even want to talk about Paul George. I don't even want to talk about Paul George right now.
Oh,
what was Indiana doing? God.
So we were all trying to figure this out, and I got told, we all know, I won't give out names because he didn't tell me I could say it, but we all know we have a very reputable Lakers source that's a friend of the show. You've heard him on here numerous times talking wrestling over the years as well. The reason that Indiana did not take the first-round picks and Julius Randle is literally because despite Paul George wanting to go there, they didn't want to trade him to the Lakers to appease Paul George on his move because they were so mad that he announced he was going to leave. So they decided to take a worse deal than it was. It's like a little kid on the court who'd rather go home and take his ball with so nobody else can play since they don't want to pick him. You know, you pick me last, so I'm the guy with the ball. I'm just going to go home. If I'm an Indiana Pacer fan right now, oh, my goodness. It's the quote-unquote pitchfork nation, you could call it. Does that blow your mind, Nick, that if you were the GM, would you lowball your city because you're butt hurt?
Well, I mean, did they even get a pick out of this?
No, they just got some bonus
and
Oladipo.
Well, see, that's even more ridiculous. I mean, like, when you see a team trade away their superstar, I mean, think about, like when the Wolves traded Garnett away, you know, 10-plus years ago, they, the pieces we got in return turned out to be absolute garbage other than Al Jefferson for a couple years. But, I mean, at least you could see that they tried with young assets and players, but – I mean, this makes absolutely no sense. Like, you get Sabonis, who is absolutely unproven,
an NBA rookie team, by the way.
Right, exactly. I mean, they rolled this dude out on the court for 30 minutes, and I mean, he'd go for 30 minutes without even scoring a basket some nights. And I mean, it was embarrassing. I mean, you got Russell Westbrook, like, getting triple teamed, you're wide open in the paint and you still can't get an easy layup. It makes no sense. But and then Victor Oladipo, I mean, there's questions about his jump shot at times, and you know, and people thought of him as like a good lockdown defender, but I don't know. I see him just as a above average shooting guard, to be honest with you. I think it's just a terrible
take that for data.
Elijah, you agree with everything he says? Is that the best answer we need?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you don't get a first round pick.
Well, we got OKC
or like
first
multiple
round pick
or multiple
Utah.
I don't know how you don't get a first round pick or multiple first round picks for Paul George.
You know, rumor out that apparently Boston offered 3 first rounders and 2 starters, one named Jay Crowder. We don't know the second starter.
Wow.
he didn't take the deal. Some people also think that maybe it's just Danny Ainge kind of trying to throw something out there to make him look better for not making a deal after how bad of a deal went down. Since Danny Ainge gets Garnett at the end of his career. He gets Ray Allen at the end of his career, and everyone thinks he's a genius. They did win a title. I get it. But he sits and hoards these picks, and he's not doing anything with them. Like, okay, Jaylen Brown, you know, it's a whatever pick. It's not terrible. But, I mean, what, the Cat averaged like 3 points a game? I mean, it wasn't anything special. And we'll see what happens with Tatum. But, I mean, my God, why would you not roll the dice? I've said this before, the Lakers had a deal in place to get Kevin Garnett from the Timberwolves. Boston one-upped them. Lakers pulled back and said, we'll just sign KG in free agency. KG goes to Boston, they win a title, and he ends up staying there. So if I'm Boston, I'm in the same situation with Paul George wanting to go to L.A. and you thinking that you can just roll the dice and sign him. Danny Ainge, pull the trigger, get him, and make a run. Why the hell not? So, you know, Boston fans should be as mad as Pacers fans right now. Because you hoard all these picks, what is it doing for you? Like, I mean, I understand the theory that if we can compete with Cleveland now, and then when some of these guys move on, we'll have all these young assets to continue winning. So, I mean, I understand, but, I mean, come on. You got to make a run at this. And now Sam Presti's sitting over in the offices in OKC laughing because not only did he just hoodwink – this might be worse than the Boogie Cousins for Tyreek Evans and Buddy Hield trade. He gets rid of a 4-year, $80 million Oladipo contract that he probably realized he shouldn't have even paid out, but he got desperate when Durant left. He unloads that. He gets to sell a ton of tickets. Now he gets to show Russell Westbrook, hey, we're trying. Sign this extension this summer. So he's putting more good faith into Westbrook. He's probably going to sell some tickets now because of this. And worst case scenario, if Paul George just walks, you got rid of that contract of Victor Oladipo. Like, Sam Presti's a genius for that. And meanwhile, Indiana's, I mean, my God, if Indiana Pacers fans are rioting right now doing this.
No!
They gotta be livid.
Yeah, but Ryan, they got the hometown kid back. Why would they be rioting?
I forgot about that. Elijah, did you hear that one? We brought Victor Oladipo in because of Indiana University, and he'll be able to sell some tickets for our fans.
Okay.
And as Hayward pointed out, it's not even in the same place. It's not even in the same place. Like, oh. I don't know. I don't get it. Indiana Pacers, man. You failed. And Hagberg, for when you talk about Boston and Minnesota trade, you forgot the amazing point guard that they acquired in that deal. They got Sebastian Telfair.
I couldn't. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I couldn't include him. You know,
Ricky.
Ricky Davis.
I called him Ricky Avis because the dude played like no defense whatsoever. So I just took the D out of his name.
That was the
just call him Avis.
Sludgeon Lake fucking. Oh, well, I already just ruined my. We're late night. I don't even care. I just realized I'm dropping F bombs on here. Sebastian Telfair, baby's running around with these on, shooting at people. He should have shot better when he was playing for the team. But whatever, I can't knock my guy. Nick, there was a gentleman that you really wanted the Timberwolves to make a run at as a backup point guard, and that was Rajon Rondo. It's supposedly coming out. I don't know if I understand it. The Lakers apparently are making a run and meeting right now with Iguodala and Rajon Rondo. Any thought why, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I just read that actually probably like 15, 20 minutes ago. It's kind of an interesting move, I thought, just considering like Rajon Rondo and Lonzo Ball. I mean, I wouldn't say they're similar, but like, I mean, like you even had like Jalen Rose making the comparison comparing Lonzo Ball to Ricky Rubio. So I mean, there are people out there that, and I kind of think of Rondo a lot of kind of the same way as Rubio, just not the best jump shooters, but they make plays or they're kind of playmakers in other ways. I think it's kind of interesting because the Lakers gave up D'Angelo Russell, who's primarily a jump shooter. And then you replace him with Rajon Rondo. I mean, I don't think it really makes a lot of sense for them, but hey, if that's the type of offense they want to run and they're changing things around, I don't know. It doesn't really, I'm not a fan of that really.
I was going to ask you, Elijah, how long into the season, if Rondo goes there, when he isn't getting playing time, does he start throwing a hissy fit about Lonzo Ball getting minutes? Do you think he freaks out?
Yeah, probably. Because he probably still believes he can be a starter in this league. The reason why I think the Lakers are talking to those two is just because I feel like they might need some veteran leadership. And those guys could maybe be had for, like, you know, a good price. So that's why that's my thoughts behind it. But it doesn't, like Hagberg said, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you're adding, like, you don't want your, like, players to be, like, redundant. It just seems Lonzo Ball and Rajon Rondo, whether one of those two guys are, like, starting or coming off the bench, just seem kind of, like, redundant players. Like, I would think maybe they'd want, like, a more, like, scoring type of guard to come off the bench, you know, if they have a more playmaking guard, like, starting, but I don't know.
I don't see any sense in trying to use Rajon Rondo as a mentor if that's the role you're going to go. That's probably
he's not
this guy.
Well, I mean, this was a dude who. Well, I mean, this was a dude who just flat out quit on the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, watch highlights of him in Dallas. I mean, it was like he was sabotaging the team. I mean, it was. I mean, it was a complete embarrassment. I mean, stuff like that. I think front office executives, coaching staffs. I mean. I can't imagine they look at that in such a good way. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't at all. Like, that just can you and I heard them kind of joking about this on the radio, and I kind of laughed a little bit when I thought about it. Can you imagine if he starts freaking out, and then LaVar Ball starts going at Rondo? I mean, I guess it's L.A. and you want the interest in the media and stuff, but I like Iguodala. I think he's a great – I think he could teach Brandon Ingram a lot and really do a lot for Brandon Ingram. And one thing that not many people are bringing up, but I hope for the – like, if I'm an NBA team, I would do my damnedest to get Iguodala, because now you're taking Iguodala from Golden State. You know, this isn't about making your team better. This is how do we beat Golden State? That's what the NBA is right now. It's literally, you know, it's the six straight years of Jordan and the Bulls. What do we got to do to beat him? It's what do we got to do to beat Shaq and Kobe? It's the same thing. You know, the last two really prominent teams like that. Where it was everybody versus them. It's everybody versus the Warriors right now. And if you can pull away Andre Iguodala, that's a huge piece. And I think people are missing the fact that's how the league needs to come together to weaken this team, it seems like. You know, I mean, they just re-signed Sean Livingston now. So Livingston's back. You know, we know Steph Curry got the $201 million contract. But there's, you know, they got those bird rights and they're going to use them. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, I never would have thought Iguodala Lakers, but I can see it. It's got a decent chance right now. The salary cap has officially been set at $99,093,000 right now. So we'll see how much teams want to spend on it. Maybe the Wolves are willing to spend more money, and that's why we're trying to do all this. Speaking of Minnesota now, Vertical just tweeted out that Jonathan Simmons is meeting with Sacramento, the Clippers, and the Timberwolves tonight.
Jesus.
So now the difference, though, is Jonathan Simmons is restricted, so the Spurs can match. But
yeah.
Nick, is Jonathan Simmons doing anything for you as a nice piece coming in off the bench or something?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a big fan of Jonathan Simmons. I mean, like you said, though, I think the Spurs will definitely match. Especially, I mean, if you look at how much cap space the Wolves have, I mean, we're not going to be throwing, like, you know, over 50% of our remaining cap at him. So I don't see him ending up in a Wolves uniform, but I would love it if that could that came to fruition later in the week.
Something that makes me feel better, Alex. The Los Angeles Clippers are getting prepared to offer Joe Ingles more than $15 million a year. Is that going to help Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan having Joe Ingles on the team, Elijah?
Not if he's like starting. I kind of like Joe Ingles for the Wolves, like because he's a good shooter and plays pretty good defense, and he's just like a solid player. Like I would have loved him on the Wolves like as a bench player, but I mean if that's like one of your main like free agent signings, you might be in trouble.
Don't worry about losing Chris Paul, guys. We're getting Joe Ingles. Apparently, they're also talking about going after Danilo Gallinari. Isn't a terrible. That's a guy that I think is going to get paid. I think Gallinari is going to get some money.
He probably will.
Go ahead.
No, I just said he probably will.
Bucks, 4 years, $46 million to Tony Snell to re-sign him. Who else? There was a few other ones. J.J. Redick is still meeting with the Sixers. I guess Minnesota is going to get a meeting, looks like. Patty Mills, 4 years, $50 million to stay in San Antonio. Nets pick up their options on Joe Harris and Sean Kilpatrick. Sean Kilpatrick, $1.5 million. That's a friendly contract. I like
Very
a guy
friendly.
Like Sean Kilpatrick.
Oh, that's a steal.
Yeah.
Too bad the Wolves didn't keep him when they had him for those couple like 10-day contracts or whatever.
That's a butthurt moment for me. Woj doesn't have anything else coming out now. I was checking a couple other sources. Looks like a lot of stuff is kind of in that sitting point right now. So my assumption is everybody's kind of meeting and talking, and now it's the waiting game. No deal for Drew Holiday tonight. I guess their meeting just concluded. Sam Amick just tweeted, nothing going there. Memphis is among the teams looking at Ben McLemore. I don't know what Ben McLemore does to me. But he was in that really bad draft too, where there was all these, Masai Ujiri and
he was still considered like can't miss though too, even though it was a bad draft.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, oh my god, this guy is gonna be an ultra athletic 3-point shooter that can get to the basket and go crazy in transition, but yeah, he just hasn't materialized into anything.
Nick, I wanted to ask you about this one. John Wall was really lobbying for Washington to make a trade to acquire Paul George. Obviously, it doesn't happen, as we see the Pacers are dumber than Sacramento, which is hard to believe. They offer $42 million a year to John Wall. He tells them just a little bit ago, I have to think about it. And then Otto Porter's meeting just ended, and it doesn't look like they reached an agreement with Otto Porter. Is this a concern if you're a Wizards fan?
What, that he had to think about it?
I mean, if you offered John Wall $42 million, he says, I got to think about it. Is that a slap in the face?
Oh, it's totally a slap in the face. I mean, crossing over to baseball, think about like Giancarlo Stanton at the time. Like Miami was absolutely terrible, and Miami, the Marlins throw like, I don't know what percentage of their salary cap at him, and he took it without hesitation. I mean, like Giancarlo Stanton, in my opinion, one of the best baseball players, but I mean, it's ridiculous if a player turns down that kind of money. Like, and it's not like Washington's a scrub team by any means. Like, they're still a playoff team, so I don't know.
That's crazy. Well, like I said, Otto Porter doesn't. I mean, they got to be on the list of people taking L's too. Elijah, I'll kind of transition into a two-sport option for this. Who took a bigger L tonight? Washington for not being able to get John Wall to sign on for $42 million a year. The Indiana Pacers for getting literally garbage for Paul George, or will Joe Horn or what, Jeff Horn take a bigger L tomorrow than both of them combined?
It's got to be the Pacers.
Horn does not.
It'll landslide.
Jeff Horn's going to get his ass kicked for a half an hour tomorrow, and he still is going to have a better weekend than the Indiana Pacers.
Well, because no one expects him to win that. No one expects him to win that fight.
Yeah.
You know, and he's like coming in as a major underdog, so it's like, and a lot of people like don't even think he should really be fighting Pacquiao to begin with. So, I mean, he's gonna take a beating, but he's gonna get paid, and he's gonna get
that's
the spotlight.
Okay. Yep, you're right.
And he's
you're
fighting,
right.
And he's fighting, and he's actually fighting in Australia, I believe. And it's gonna be like, from what I saw, it was gonna be the biggest like crowd that Pacquiao has ever fought in front of.
Wow, what's that? ESPN2 is live showing. Okay, so you're right. You're right. Jeffrey Horn, I guess, might actually be on a winning side. I mean, it's not like the beating's in the last round.
What if he does pull the upset off?
Oh wow, that would I think ESPN would be pissed. Like, oh crap, we show the biggest fight on non pay per view history, like not counting HBO, that any station's shown in over a decade, and he loses. That would be terrible.
Trash.
You want trash? I'll give you the trash, because that would be trash. That would be straight up
trash.
Me and Hagman were actually talking about that. Like, that would not be good for the boxing if he loses. It's like, you know, you gotta win this fight. By the way, Nick was looking as well. Pacquiao is only a -400. So it's not even that giant of a. Go ahead, Nick.
Oh, I was gonna say it's it got bet up. I just checked a little while ago. It got bet up to it's -540 now. So.
Oh, okay. So that's a little more. So $540 to win 100.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So. Still a big favorite.
People must have got wind of the 4-1 and said, well. Or the 1-4 and said, well, I could throw $1,000 to win 250 on that. you know, just looking at some of the other stuff, obviously, you know, Sunday we talked about Jimmy Butler and what that did. One that we still have kind of looming around that drives some interest to me. Elijah, I want you to touch on it first. Nick, I'll have you jumping after. Does this Chris Paul to the Houston Rockets do enough to make them a viable contender?
I don't think they're going to be much better than they were last year. I actually think they might be worse. I don't think Chris Paul and James Harden really fit together. They both are ball dominant. You know, they're both point guards. I mean, Harden's like, play like as a shooting guard that can play point guard, but I just don't know how good Harden can be off, how good Harden would be off the ball, especially when he's like a perfect fit for Mike D'Antoni's system. It just doesn't really make sense to me. And then another thing that could kind of come into play too is Chris Paul plays defense. James Harden does not. Like, how long do you think Chris Paul is going to put up with James Harden not playing defense, because Chris Paul is a pretty big on his team playing defense, and he'll go at guys that don't play defense, and I don't know how long he'll be able to take the James Harden Matador defense.
Nick, what's your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty much my exact thoughts about it, but I want to add too. Obviously, but I think not enough people are talking about the fact that they parted ways with Beverly, Lou Williams, and Harrell. I mean, and Sam Decker. I mean, but I mean, those were, especially Lou Williams. I mean, Lou Williams was arguably one of the best six men through the first half of the year last year. And I mean, they just, you totally give up your practically half your bench for one guy. And like you're saying, I mean, Chris Paul and James Harden don't complement each other at all. So I don't know. I mean, will they be a lot worse? I mean, I don't think they'll be, you know, I don't think they're going to be a lot more, I don't think things will be a lot different than last year, but I think in terms of really taking the next step in the West, I just don't see that happening for them.
You know, and that's such a good point too. I mean, Lou Williams was playing so good, the Lakers traded him because they were afraid of losing their pick. I mean, they dealt this guy for Corey Brewer and the 28 and what ended up being the 28 pick, because it was like Lou Williams is starting to win these games. I mean, let's not forget that I think the Lakers won 24 games. They were 10-10 to start the season, and then when they realized we need to stop doing all this, they moved Lou Will, and it was one of those, I hate to see you leave because you're very valuable. You know, you're sixth man of the year and on your way to trying to do it. I mean, he was the runner-up this year behind Eric Gordon on his own team. So it's not like, you know, they had a – and that's even worse. My God, I didn't even think of it that way. As Hagler pointed out, they got rid of their whole bench. They had the winner and the first runner-up for sixth man of the year. I've never in my life ever seen that. And now you've completely dismantled that second unit. I think it's not going to work. I think they're going to lose. I think they're going to win less games than they did last year. And to touch on Elijah's point, Chris Paul is very vocal. You're 100% right. And the problem with Chris Paul, how he's that vocal, when you look at when you think of vocal guys, the two I always think of, and I've said this before, is Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant. Those are two guys that they don't care who you are. If you're not going to play, they're going to blackball you. And Chris Paul tries to do that, but Chris Paul has no accolades or pedigree to be doing that. And that may sound petty coming from my mouth, but let's be honest. This guy's never gotten past the second round of the playoffs. Why is he yelling at somebody? I understand he's a fantastic point guard. He's probably a Hall of Famer. But I think that sometimes he puts his foot in his mouth, and you could tell it didn't work in the Clippers because Blake and DeAndre sure didn't give a damn. You know, they're busy playing, you know, hopscotch or whatever the hell they're probably doing. They're like, it's bad. And you know, I'm glad you pointed that out, Elijah, because that's going to be a problem there. It's going to be a real problem. And I'll tell you what, if they somehow just manage to trade for Carmelo Anthony and get rid of more pieces, my God, I think they're going to, you know, that's going to hurt them even worse because Carmelo doesn't fit. I don't know. I love the fact that Daryl Morey is always making moves and he's always willing to put up a lot to try to make his team win. And that's what you ask for, and especially us as Minnesota fans. It's something you really don't get very often. So kudos to him for trying, but it really doesn't seem like a good fit at all. Elijah, what else have you seen or heard rumblings-wise that really sparked your interest throughout the night that we maybe haven't talked about?
Steph Curry's now the highest-paid player ever.
Yes, he got 201.
That's crazy. That's crazy coming from a guy who, coming from little old Davidson.
Yeah, that's in a weird way. You know, Elijah, is that one of those, like, 20 years from now that's one of those ESPN E60 feel-good stories? Like, this guy almost didn't re-sign him because his knees were so bad, and they gave him a really, really low contract, and he came from a really low school. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, he wins back-to-back MVPs, the first ever unanimous MVP, three straight finals appearances, two of them with rings. I mean, is that one of the nice feel-good stories? He's a family man.
Yeah, it probably could be. I mean, I don't know. I don't think anyone was, when Curry was coming out, I don't think anyone was going to project him to be the highest paid player in the NBA. I mean, a lot of people weren't even thinking he was maybe not even going to be an all-star. So
Gosh.
It's crazy.
Hagberg, do you remember when we drafted Johnny Flynn over him?
Unfortunately.
I remember being in your apartment over in off of Larpinder, I think it was, Elijah. And I was...
It was in West St. Paul.
Was it on Oakdale or whatever street it was?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it was those ones. I remember I was so happy we got Rubio. And then we take Johnny Flynn, and everyone's kind of like, what the hell?
back.
And then we take another point guard at 17. And then we get another pick and take a fourth point guard.
The whole Steph Curry thing to me is kind of hindsight right now. Like, I'm not as mad that we picked Johnny Flynn over Curry. I'm more mad that we didn't, like, pick, like, DeMar DeRozan or, you know, another guy like that. I'm more mad that we just picked two point guards back-to-back.
Yeah. Well, and especially when you take a – I will never forget. They take Rubio, who's, you know, we knew was a passer. So it was perfectly set up to take a guy like DeMar DeRozan. You just took the guy who's going to give him the rock all night, and now you got the guy who's going to do something with the rock. And instead, David Kahn thought he could interchange point guards depending on the situation because they were two different stylistic playing point guards. Might be the stupidest-ass thing I've ever heard in my life. The only thing that makes it not as terrible is the fact that we got the number 6 pick for Craig Smith and Randy Foy. So I don't know what the hell the Wizards were thinking anyway for the fact that – could you imagine somebody trying to trade those two guys for a top 6 pick now? They get laughed at.
Yeah.
Hey, Ryan, I just want to sorry. I was going to say I just pulled up this article about why they took Rubio and Flynn together, and it's because David Kahn – Here, I'll read this here.
This is going to be good.
So if you remember Dave Wohl, who was the Wolves assistant coach at the time. So I'm just going to read this quote here. Wohl described Johnny Flynn as a good, ambitious kid. He also said Rubio and the number 7 pick, Stephen Curry, would have made a great pairing. He didn't believe either Flynn or Rubio could perform at the shooting guard, like we were saying. So David Kahn responds, no, I want to play Johnny and Rubio. They remind me of Walt Frazier and Earl Monroe.
Trash! Oh, my God. I just figured it out, guys. Day 2 of the NFL draft, Tony Richardson really wasn't there. It was David Kahn in one of those masks, like a Scooby-Doo episode. He was the one who said this.
With the 79th pick in the 2017 NFL draft, the New York Jets.
That was really David Kahn under the mask. That wasn't even Tony Richardson. Tony, I'm sorry I've been dogging you since April. How did I not figure this out? I can't believe I didn't figure this out.
One Curry point I was going to make, too, is, like, you know, if you really think about it, Curry was injured. Like, he didn't really start to come on until, like, after his, like, rookie contract would have ended with us. And we probably would have never seen the Steph Curry that Golden State is seeing now anyways. You know what I mean? Because he probably would have bolted the first chance that he got. So.
You know, and I think one thing, too, that we don't look at too is Golden State's system was so set up the way Mark Jackson was setting that team up. We wouldn't have been able to make that magic here.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'm trying to dog, you know, everything we had because it's like we weren't trying, you know, but we weren't built up in that kind of a situation. And I mean, if you're, you know, it sucks too. I guess while we're just, you know, feeling bad for ourselves as lowly Timberwolves fans, as you heard, Mr. Michael Thompson from our opener, he went to the Gophers. He knew David Kahn. And he had talked to David Kahn and said, look, at number two, draft my son. He's willing to play here for you. He's willing to stay here because he knows how much I enjoyed Minnesota and how much Flip Saunders actually means something and how Kevin like the whole situation here. Take my son. He'll be good for this team. And we took Derek Williams instead of him. So you could argue that we could have had the Splash Brothers in our backcourt. I mean, if you really want to just make, just reach for the stars and just throw them down your throat until they cut your insides up, we could have had Clay and Steph, which hurts just as bad. Like, damn it. But, Hagberg, you brought up a great point. Now that we did trade Rubio, if you remember your point, your David Kahn point, that made me very happy.
What was that?
You said the one positive is we officially are over from the David Kahn era.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I know. It's taken long enough, to be honest. But I will say this. I will say Rubio, for all the countless mistakes David Kahn made, I will say that Ricky Rubio was, it was probably his only good move, to be honest with you, but.
Yeah. God, I mean, when he had guys like all these guys and he's selling players so he could fire Kurt Rambis. I've never heard of a GM who's trying to trade players for money to fire his coach. It's like trying to beg your relatives for money to go buy something at the store because your dad won't give you an allowance. Glenn Taylor's telling him to suck it. So he goes and starts begging his friends for money. That's pretty much what he did. Hey guys, I'll give you this guy. We broke down that list. I mean, Nikolai Mirotic was the guy that we sold for like $500,000. Gary Harris, who has turned into a really serviceable player for Denver, we decided to sell him for a bag of peanuts just so we could fire Kurt Rambis. Like that guy is one of the. Oh my God, I don't know how we got on David Kahn so bad, but he just pisses David Kahn, man.
Stay in your lane.
Get the hell out of here. I have no excitement for that guy whatsoever. Hagberg,
stay in your lane.
Stay, hell yeah, one more time for the con.
Stay in your lane.
You get one more of those. Nick, anything that really stood out to you tonight that we haven't talked about at all?
Oh, I mean, I think I was looking through some things and briefly, I don't know, we touched on a lot of the stuff I already read. I'm just interested to really see how I'm kind of interested in what Utah does in the whole Gordon Hayward situation and what they're going to do potentially if he signs with Boston or Miami, which I'm kind of leaning towards thinking that he will. So I don't know, or will he stay with Rubio? Like, does the Ricky Rubio trade make things any better in Utah? So I'm really interested, considering they're a divisional opponent of the Wolves and kind of a borderline playoff team. I'm just kind of interested to see what they do.
What do you think Gordon Hayward does, Nick?
Personally, I mean, I think he goes to Boston. I think what people don't remember is what special moments he had with Brad Stevens at Butler. I mean, if you think about it, they were a half-court shot away that rimmed out from upsetting Duke and winning the national championship. I mean, if that shot goes in, Gordon Hayward's, in my opinion, is looked at way differently just from casual basketball fans. And I think that, I mean, players just don't turn away from the opportunity to play with their former coach. I mean, you saw Jimmy Butler. Does Jimmy Butler go to the Wolves without Thibodeau? Absolutely not. So I just think that, and a guy like Brad Stevens, first-class coach, I mean, stand-up act, and really he's a player's coach. All the players like him for the most part, and I just think that he's not going to pass up that opportunity. And he's going to a contender. I mean, if Eagles there, I think that they're the best team in the East.
Get it!
Why was get it so loud? I'm sorry. I like it. That was a good take. Elijah, what do you think about Gordon Hayward? That Butler Brad Stevens point was clutch. That was a clutch point. Elijah, sorry, what do you got tonight with the Hayward?
I think he's bolting. I think he's like Hagberg said, I think he's gonna probably go to Boston. He's honestly what they need. They need another guy that can score on the wing. They were kind of lacking another real true scoring threat, and he brings that to them. And obviously, like Hagberg said, they got Brad Stevens, and the Boston fans will love Gordon Hayward. I'm not saying that he's gonna be as loved as Larry Bird, but. he could be that type of player that they love in Boston, along the lines of a Larry Bird type. So I think he'll end up in Boston.
It's not a good comparison, but it is a good comparison, if that makes sense. Elijah,
no, not as a player, but more just as
I'm also kind of agreeing in the aspect of he's a tall shooter who can kind of get to the paint though still, and that's
and,
a guy that
yeah.
Boston has always been a staple in Boston is that nice tall shooter on the outside, you know, Ray Allen, Larry Bird, you know, now you say Gordon Hayward, it's not as catastrophically uncomparable as it may sound deep down, you know what I mean? I think you're onto it.
Yeah, and I just he's probably one of the few white superstars in the league too, you know, so I don't know, it'll be a good fit for them if he goes, it'll be a good fit for Boston if he goes there.
Well, and I'm comparing him to Allen and Bird, not Bird and Dino Raja. I get where you're going with it, but it's a good fit because now
Eric Montross.
He ain't no Eric Montross. it's got a nice, I think a nice groove for Isaiah Thomas too. Cause you know, by the end of the year, which is what made Isaiah Thomas such a star is how much he had to take over. I understand Boston was the number one seed and, you know, their record shows how good they are. But when you realistically break it down, their starting lineup was Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, and Kelly Olynyk were the pieces with Al Horford, who's he's a great player, but he's a secondary player. And then Isaiah Thomas. So, I mean, their team, their starting five isn't the sexiest starting five. I mean, Crowder, he's fine. Avery Bradley's fine. Kelly Olynyk is fine, but that's not a team that should be winning as many games as they did. And, you know, did they overachieve? We don't know. You know, they got hot at the right time, and I think it helped because they can attract things. But I'll tell you what, if I'm a Boston Celtics fan, which I hope they don't get anybody as a Lakers fan, but if I was a Boston fan and you get Gordon Hayward, boy, am I pissed off that Danny Ainge, if he really was hoarding his chips and just trying to play it cool, I'm pissed off that they didn't go out and get Paul George. Because a team with Paul George, Gordon Hayward, Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, that's a team that's getting to the – I think that's a team that could finally – be the different team in the NBA Finals for the Eastern Conference. But, you know, I mean, you said it yourself, Hagberg, if Hayward goes there, they arguably will be the best team in the East. And I think if you're a Cleveland fan, Elijah, you know, tell me if I'm wrong on this, but one thing we kind of hadn't talked about was if I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm kind of hoping that Gordon Hayward doesn't go to Boston, because Cleveland is in such a bad situation with really bad contracts. You know, and we all joked about Kevin Love being the reason they didn't get Paul George in the trade, because nobody wanted that contract. If Cleveland just stays dormant, they don't have to make a move, and they can still get back because the East is so terrible. So I think if you're a Cavs fan, you got to be rooting against Gordon Hayward coming to Boston. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Definitely. If I'm a Cavs fan, I'm worried about if LeBron James is even, like, staying.
Oh, my goodness. You know, and I played this for Hagberg. I'll pull this up here, and I don't know how good it's going to sound through my cell phone, but I'll tell you what. I don't know, Elijah, are you a fan of Brian Windhorst?
I listen to him. I see him on, like, ESPN and stuff, and he's got good takes. I don't mind him.
Are you in agreement that if LeBron James didn't exist, we would never even know who he is?
Probably, because that's, like, LeBron James' like, right-hand man in the media.
I'm trying to find this here.
We'd be like, who's that fat guy?
What's that?
We'd be like, who's that fat guy on TV? Never seen him before.
Jeff Katz on ESPN LA today. I'll play it because it's really funny. He works for WWE. He works for New Line Cinema. He's been an executive at major movie production companies. He's kind of a who's who in entertainment. He comes in and does a lot of covering on ESPN LA when, you know, Mason or Ireland usually are gone. He'll sit in, Ramona Shelburne sits in, things like that. Jeff Katz has no affiliation to any of these sports stations whatsoever. You know, and he said it himself. He's the kind of guy who, if he got fired and they asked him to not come back, oh, well, he's going to go be an executive at, like, you know, Sony tomorrow because of his pedigree. He said he's in the process of writing two movies out with two major companies and to help sell them. And he's talking to Windhorst, and the beauty with Jeff Katz is he's a guy who doesn't have to pull the punches. We all know all these media people, and this isn't to criticize them because I love people like Ramona Shelburne and stuff, but they know what they can say and they know what they can't say. They probably have more information than they want to give off, but hey, they protect their jobs, and that's why they get the information. Jeff Katz today decided to oust Brian Windhorst. And I've never heard Brian Windhorst go from a professional conversation, and as Hagberg laughed when I played this, start calling Jeff Katz dude and man over and over because he's getting so upset. And you can hear John Ireland trying to change the subject to Blake Griffin, and Jeff Katz doesn't back down. And this is about the best minute and a half of radio I've heard in a while. But Elijah, I'm gonna play this. Let me know if you can hear this when I start playing it here. I'll go back about 30 seconds before it, so you can see if you can hear it, and then we'll continue on with it. But here's the clip. Can you hear that?
Not really, no.
All right, let me try to go a little louder because I really want to get this on there.
Your experience
work?
Dealing with him, and I have to be very blunt. Okay. I've had private business dealings with.
They don't know.
Okay. Whoever says.
No. Oh, boy, this fast forward way ahead. Oh, I just pissed it away. Pissed out of my ass. All right, so real quick, just so everybody knows what's going on, this is them asking Brian Windhorst about LeBron James coming to LA, and him saying that LeBron, you know, he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's got, you know, it's kind of like, you have the keys to wherever you want to go and everything will part like the Red Sea, which is true. If he called Orlando and said, I want to come play for you guys, they'll trade away everybody to sign him. We all know this. So he's basically stating that we don't know what LeBron's going to do because he doesn't plan anything ahead, which is what set Jeff Katz off, and here it is.
One of the ways that we can decide where we are in our careers and your industry, how many options do you have? If you were to leave your job today, how many options would you have and how much money? If you have unlimited options and unlimited money, you know you're great. That's where LeBron James is.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, I completely respect where you're coming from. But in your experience dealing with him, and I'll just be very blunt, I've had private business dealings with...
They don't know.
Okay.
whoever says they don't know, because LeBron
finished doesn't really quickly, though. All I'm saying is, in my experience, and I would assume yours, there's certainly been an element of very clear strategy on the part of his and his guys. Oh, can I just out this really quick?
Yeah,
I don't want to pick up Brian's whole thing. I apologize. Like, I was doing business several years ago with the Wades, et cetera.
Yeah.
And Antoine Wade, Dwayne Wade's brother, a year before the decision, was very clear and walked me through the entire plan almost as it happened. That's a fact.
Right.
And so
won the championship that year. He's still leaving?
All I know is it played out exactly as they told me.
Yeah.
With all due respect, nobody knew. They talked about it, but nobody knew until they got there.
Oh, come on! John is fucking saying he knew.
But you're saying that the Cavs won the championship in 2010, LeBron. Go see you guys.
Brian, what I'm saying to you is Ramona Shelburne and a bunch of us for 3 years now, privately behind the scenes here, have been talking about LeBron going to the Lakers as though it was, don't say this publicly, but it's kind of fait accompli. And all I can tell you is I get the same spidey sense I got from Antoine Wade.
Go to Vegas, put your house on.
John, Brian, so you know. Brian, so you know, I am completely with you. Brian,
I have great respect for you.
Yeah, Brian, I am completely with you.
Dude, here's what I'm telling you. Is it an option? Yes,
clearly.
It's an option. If you think it's done, you're full of it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just taking an educated guess. I'm always
okay. Let's move on.
That's a different story now, isn't it?
Oh,
yeah,
I'm still betting. I still bet the house.
I don't. See, here's the thing, man.
I don't bet the house.
You know what, dude? In my business, you make educated guesses, you're going to be in deep trouble.
That's why, I'm not a journalist. I'm just looking at this from my own experience on the side.
And Brian, we appreciate your perspective on that. Let me ask some other stuff.
He totally went in on him. And Windhorse was getting flustered and started getting upset. And Jeff Katz said himself, he goes, look, Dwayne Wade's brother walked up, and he explains it on the show, guys. If you want to hear the whole thing, it's hour number two of Mason in Ireland from today, a little bit in hour three as well. But he says, look, Antoine Wade walked up to me. And later in the show, he calls in to back up Jeff Katz that he explained all this. So they're outing that this was planned a year before the decision even happened, which if Windhorse is still listening, has got to be flipping his freaking wig right now, which is fantastic. But he says that, look, Antoine Wade came up to me and he said, Bosch is going to take a little less, but they're all going to come together. There's going to be a giant press conference. And then he says, so, you know, and I've 100% believed it all. And Ireland asked him, well, how did you know he wasn't just lying? And he said, at the time I was working for the WWE and I set up a meeting between Triple H and Antoine Wade. So that way they had a year to prepare for LeBron and Bosch to go to Miami. And they were trying to work out rights between the Miami Heat and the WWE to get the NWO rights so they could have the NWO kind of a theme, the NWO wrestling theme for Wade, LeBron, and Bosch, and kind of come in as the New World Order because they knew the backlash they were going to get from doing it. The Miami Heat ended up kind of wussing out and didn't want to go with it, so the WWE backed off. But there, I mean, that would have been kind of cool. I think that would have been freaking awesome if they would have came in as the NWO and embraced the hate that they got for it. But this, you can't tell me, and Elijah, I know we always go head over heels against each other with LeBron, and you know, over the last 10 years. But if you can't literally tell me that Brian Windhorse is correct, that LeBron doesn't know what he's going to do tomorrow. This guy has had his career and next move and next three moves planned ahead for probably since high school. Am I right?
Yeah. I think you're right.
Like, give me a break. And Jeff Katz points out the simple fact of the media thinks we're all stupid. You know, it's kind of like the WWE thinks we're all goldfish, where they book something that makes no damn sense and just thinks we're going to forget about it. I mean, come on. And the fact that he's getting so defensive, it was so good to hear Windhorse with it. And it's the best way that now, once again, ever since the decision, free agency means something. Like, nobody ever stayed up like this before LeBron did the decision. So I hated the way he did it, but I love the way he did it, you know, as of last year. Because now we're up talking about it at 2:30 in the morning because it's damn interesting. And next year, it's going to be the same thing again. And I can't wait to see what Brian Windhorst has to say if he suddenly goes to L.A. Is he going to – I mean, if they bring him back on the radio, I can't wait to see if he kind of – well, you know, he made the decision today. He didn't know – like, bull crap. It just – it blows me away how much some of these guys just kind of spew so much selfless nonsense to you know, get that rub. And it's frustrating. I don't – you know, I just realized I don't even know how I got on this tangent. I just thought it was hilarious, and then it kind of frustrated me because I really don't like Brian Windhorst. So I guess that's my rant. And one, we talked about it earlier, you know, all the angry Laker fans whose heads may explode, you said, Elijah, LeBron goes there and brings them back to prominence. That's going to be is there going to be more angry Laker fans that they have to watch LeBron try to win him a title, or is there going to be more LeBron fans that are going to be mad that they're now cheering for the Lakers?
I think it's going to be more Lakers fans, honestly.
You know, and I'll say this too. I've never once said I hated LeBron. It's just, it's always one of those, you know, just like MJ was compared to Kobe, then Kobe, you know, it's kind of that stopgap in between LeBron and MJ. So as a Kobe guy, I've always defended Kobe against LeBron. I 100% feel, you know, example, when me and you had that debate with the Draymond Green, Andre, or Anthony Davis thing, as much as I was on your side with Anthony Davis, I was able to put together a pretty damn good argument for Draymond Green. If I had to debate somebody about LeBron versus Kobe, I'm very confident that I'm winning that debate. Does it mean that I'm right? No. But I'm confident I can win that debate. So with that being said, I'm not going to be mad if he goes there because I want the best talent in that city. And basketball is better when the big markets are relevant. And I think it's going to be hilarious. I know a lot of people that are Laker fans that hate, like, swear by hating LeBron James. And after you said that, I laughed and chuckled just thinking about a couple of these people that literally cannot stand him. And they're going to see me walking around with a LeBron James jersey on and probably want to treat me like it's the Purge when it's all said and done. So we've cracked an hour, guys. It's getting a little late here. I'm going to wrap it up here so we can kind of get on with our business, get up and see what happens in the morning. I want to get one more thing from each of you guys. Hagberg, give me one bold prediction that you think we'll see when we all wake up in the morning.
Bold prediction. You know, I would say Paul Millsap will have a home. I don't know where it is, but I definitely think that, you know what, I'll say Phoenix. I'll say that the Atlanta Hawks will do a sign and trade with Phoenix to send Paul Millsap there. Because I really think that they're going to want pieces in return, and I don't think the Wolves are going to be able to give them enough. So I wouldn't be surprised if I saw a sign and trade with the Suns.
Elijah, what do you think is something big that could happen over the next, you know, 7 hours while people are sleeping?
This is going to sound very homerish of me, but Paul Millsap and JJ Redick will be Timberwolves tomorrow.
Yeah,
pay that
man. I hope you're right.
I hope I am too, but that's just me being a homer.
Demetrius's dog Peanut has a prediction as well. Let's get hers. Thank you, Peanut, for that. I appreciate that. My prediction. I'm going bold with this.
Woo!
Andre Iguodala goes to the Lakers. That's my bold prediction.
Give me your bold prediction on where LeBron James ends up.
Oh, he's going to Showtime.
Woo!
He's ending up in Los Angeles. And damn it, I would be rocking a purple and gold 23 or 6 or whatever the hell number he wants to wear. I'm gonna get his shoes. I'm gonna get a fat head. I'm gonna get a coffee mug. You're gonna think that I've been a LeBron fan since he was in high school. Even though when he was on the cover of Slam, I was a fan of Sebastian Telfair and not LeBron James, but that's not something I should be bragging about. On that Slam cover. But hey man, I'm telling you, and it's look, like I know it's next year's free agency already being talked about, but I guess my point is, and you know, not to keep ranting here tonight here. I mean, we still got 20 minutes left on the clock, so I guess we can still rant. Everyone's still here. But, I mean, you know, I'll ask you, Elijah, and, you know, I'll ask Hagberg the same question after. Is there a way you can really talk me out? Like, can you make a case why he wouldn't go to L.A.?
I can't.
I can make a case why he should. It's just, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't go there. You know, any reason you think he goes somewhere else, Hagberg?
That he doesn't go to LA?
Yeah, like, can you make a good, valid case why he wouldn't go?
Yeah, I think, I don't know who said it a couple weeks ago. I heard a take. They were saying how, you know, I mean, if you think about LeBron, he said he doesn't have like an obsession with chasing Michael Jordan. I mean, it's not like on the Kobe level, like I got to get 7 rings type of thing. But, I mean, he said for years that he wants to be the greatest of all time. And I don't think that's possible at this point, but I just think LeBron's always a guy that wants to create a legacy for himself. I mean, if you look at, look at what work he's done in Akron, Ohio. I mean, like his charity foundation. I mean, it's kind of a one of a kind thing where he sends kids to college for 4 years to like tuition free. And I think, I mean, if you see him go to L.A., you just see all those statues outside of Staples Center. You look at Magic, Shaq, Kobe, and then you put LeBron in there, and it just – I mean, it's kind of in the twilight of his career at this point. I mean, if he's there for several years, and he's not going to be able to – he's not going to be able to live up to the legacy of those guys, and I just don't see LeBron doing that, to be honest with you.
And I think that's I was like, damn, he's coming with a pretty good point. Let's go. This is good. So, you know, kudos to that. And I'll say this to go, you know, to play devil's advocate. If there's one guy who wants to take a challenge on, I feel it's LeBron James. You
right,
know,
yeah.
He went back to Cleveland. He got him his ring. You know, and this is me just looking at every aspect of it. You know, there's his wife apparently wants to live full time in LA just because they put their kids in, I guess, really high profile private schools for their education. So the kids are already going to school there. The wife wants to live there. Cleveland can't be mad at him if he leaves again. Like, I don't see Cleveland burning his jersey if he leaves this time. He got him a ring. He got him to 3 finals. Very, very much likely he'll get him to a 4th this year. But in Cleveland, I don't see how that team can get better. Because And, you know, do you think, you know, he always is trying to win. And, you know, put himself in a situation with it. And he's going to be in a situation with Cleveland where eventually they're not going to be making finals. And it's going to be back to what it was before 2011 with Miami there. And I think, or 2010. And I think that's could be the kicker with it. And he goes to LA. He can continue doing, you know, his business ventures. I bet you it's better for Maverick Carter in LA. I bet you he'd be excited. More opportunities for him and his agency. He can open that door to the Hollywood aspect even for when he retires in that second half of his swan song. Because, you know, let's be honest, I kind of enjoyed him in Trainwreck. Call me crazy, but I thought he was pretty damn entertaining with Bill Hader. You know, and I said this to Elijah earlier. I think one kicker is if they get Paul George on that team, one of the only guys who's really, aside from you know, maybe Draymond, the only guy that's really ever gave him any kind of a fit was Paul George, and he's going to be playing with him. So it's like, you know, he wouldn't have to worry about it. He's got young pieces around him. And, boy, I tell you what, if he can, you know, as Elijah said, if he can bring that team back to relevance, that's a feather in your cap that nobody's been able to do in the last few years. So I think, but then again, every year I'm hoping somebody's going to go to LA and I end up with Timofey Mozgov.
Timofey!
So, I don't know. I guess, hey, it's NBA free agency. One year from now, we'll be talking again on the radio, doing the same thing, talking about who's doing what, and everybody's going to love it. Except next year, I got to make sure I get out of work earlier so we can start earlier. I want to thank you guys for staying up late with me and talking some basketball, because we all love free agency and it's fun as hell. Thanks to anybody that did tune in. I saw a couple of retweets and stuff. So appreciate the people that stayed up. We'll have a more free agency talk on Sunday. Sunday we talk at 10:35 with Bob Lung, the writer of the Fantasy Football Consistency Guide 2017. It is a fantastic read. I got Hagberg looking at it. He was into it.
Oh yeah, it was great.
So we'll be talking to him about the clutch factor and all these crazy terms, and it's such a different way to look at fantasy football. And then we'll be bookending them 10:05. We'll be chatting with I can't remember the names, and I apologize because we're still talking. But Washington Redskins be at 10:05. I don't know why I couldn't think of it. I think I was trying to say American football team. And then at 11:05, we're finishing the bookend talking Philadelphia Eagles as we start NFC East this year or this month starting up. So we'll go into the last quarter hour of hour two talking free agency. NHL free agency starts in the morning. NBA is going right now, so we'll talk a lot about it. Once again, Hagberg, thanks for coming on talking. We're going to have to get you out of here banter with us a little more. That was a fun time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'd love to come back on.
Elijah, as always, I'm about 75-25. I'll be seeing you Sunday morning. So we'll be able to chat a little bit. Elijah probably won't be on this weekend. He's going on an excursion to Las Vegas to check out the NBA Summer League. The problem is he doesn't have a flight. He doesn't have a ticket. He doesn't have a hotel. But we're still going to try to figure out a way to get him down in that building there. So don't go away on how that works. maybe we'll contact David Blaine or something. For myself, I will see you 10 o'clock Sunday evening. Thanks a lot, guys, and we'll talk to you.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad Force Flex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Dude.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Dude.